And it's always great interviewing somebody that I've never met before. I don't really know a great deal about you at all.
Yeah. All right.
So you know, just for the sake of the listener, tell me your name and let's get going.
My name's Chedo Araka. I'm a musician. I would say I've been doing music now for about 6 years.
Okay. Well, let's come on to that a little bit later. Let's take you right back
what
to the beginning.
What do you want to know?
Your connection with Africa. Are you African born or
African descent?
African descent. Okay. So tell me about that ancestry.
Well, basically, as you can tell, my name's African. Nigerian name.
Right.
Igbo name.
Mm-hmm.
My mum, Justina Araka. She's the one who brought me up in the north part of the city, which we lived. My first house that I ever can remember was down Auckland Avenue. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware, Cranbrook Avenue, Cranbrook. And then we moved to 21st Avenue on the estate.
Mm-hmm.
I was born here, Heddon Road Hospital, 1987. Mm-hmm. My mum came over to England to study, basically.
Okay, yeah.
At the Hull University.
Yeah. What was her subject?
Her subject? She's going to kill me for this. You know what? I don't even...
You don't know?
I think it's social science, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe it's social science, I think. I'm not too sure. She's probably going to... When she hears this, she's probably not going to be happy. But I think it was social science. She did her first degree in Nigeria, and then she did her master's over here.
Mm.
And then she stayed over here, basically.
Do you know why she chose to come to the UK to do
because
masters?
Her university was partners with Hull University.
Okay.
So that was the reason why she came to Hull.
Mm.
Mm. And then I've got a big sister as well, Nicolica, because she's a solicitor.
Mm.
We just stayed. Colica was born here as well. But Colica had a bit of time over in Nigeria, so I think she was born here.
Mm.
And then they went back, and then they came back again.
Mm.
Mm. That's my Nigerian background.
So tell me something about your early years then, life at school and that sort of thing. So let's be honest, I moved to Hull in 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was months and months and months before I found anybody of...
Black origin
at all.
At school.
So for you growing up in Hull, which must have been a
I've
really,
got so
really
many stories.
City.
I've got so many stories with that. That's why I'm glad you actually invited me for the interview, because I think these experiences need to be heard, really.
Yeah,
so my experiences growing up, I was the only black kid on my street, definitely. On the estate, I think there was a family who were mixed race, the Louths. There was like a stone throw away. They lived on Fifth Avenue.
Mm.
And then there was a kid called Gareth Webster as well. So on Norfolk Estate, really, and he was mixed as well. So on Norfolk Estate, I was the only like fully fledged black guy. I went to Ensley Primary School. The only black kid in the school. Then I went to St Mary's College Secondary.
Okay.
And
so being the only black kid in the school, was that a positive for you or a negative?
Both.
Mm.
If I'm going to be honest, later on there was a girl called Tawanda actually, and another girl called Kristen that came when we was in like year five. So for the majority, definitely was the only black kid. It was just good to be a bit different, I think.
Mm.
Negatives, I felt like I didn't really know myself, really, in the fact that my identity, because I was around white people all the time. My mum used to always remind me as well that you're not the same as these. You need to understand that, because there was a lot of racism. Not really much in school, that much, where I lived, really. Because I think, and to be honest with you, I look back and it was tough, but then I look and think, they'd never seen a black person before. So the only black people they'd seen was on television.
Okay, going back to what your mum said to you, what was it about your black identity that your mum wanted you to,
I think,
you
know, she to understand as special? I think she always wanted to remind me that I was a black Nigerian boy and that people would always look at me differently.
Hmm.
She said, unfortunately, that's just the way the world is, or the way your community is.
Mm.
Maybe if I lived in London or cities with more more races in and more multicultural, basically, it would have been different. But living in a white city, my mum used to always say, you're not going to be able to get away with the things that your peers get away with, because you're the one that's always going to be seen.
Yes.
So you need to start realising that you've got to try harder than them when it comes to applying for stuff, or even you need to be, if you want to be top of the class, you need to work extra harder, because unfortunately there is stigmas, there is perceptions, and there is racism, basically. So she used to always remind me. She said, never forget where you come from, ever.
How would your mum have described what it was to be black Nigerian? What was the identity for her?
My mum is just the strongest woman I've ever come across in my life. I don't really know anyone she's my role model, really. I don't really know anyone who's as strong as that woman. She's been through so much. And I think if she was going to say what's the identity of a African woman, is just to be a strong, independent woman, not to rely on anyone for anything.
Mm.
Always voice your opinion.
Mm.
Don't let anyone walk all over you, because you always need to know your self-worth.
Mm. Mm.
So I think that's what she would have said, really.
Okay, yeah. Can I ask, where is Dad in this?
My dad, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm going to be realistic with you. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really know my dad.
Mm.
The only experiences I've got of my dad is, because I've only been to Nigeria twice. I went once when I was about 8, and the second time I went when I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I went, I saw him, and my memories is he lived, my dad was known to be a very wealthy man, looked after everyone around him. The stories I've been told is he had a bit of a nervous breakdown and went a bit doolally, basically. And I went to go see him, and I just remember he had a massive land. His house was on a massive land with gates all around his house. And I went to go see him. I just remember sitting on his knee. And that is the only memory I've got of my dad, a set of pictures. There's loads of pictures in the house and stuff like that. But obviously him and my mum had a disagreement, or something happened along the lines, really. And he's never been a part of my life. So to be honest with you, my mum is my mum and my dad. She's both.
What were your expectations of Nigeria when you went over there?
That's a good question. I didn't really know what to expect, really. I mean, I suppose I was sort of like what a lot of white people would have thought, that it was just poverty and I'm just going to see kids with flies on their faces, and I'm going to see elephants. I'm going to see monkeys in the trees and stuff like that. It's an ignorant way of thinking, but because I've never experienced it, I didn't know. But I got a big culture shock when I went, because it wasn't like that.
Mm.
My family they're quite well off. They're okay. They live in the town, Onitsha. That's where my mum was born. That's where my mum's from. And it wasn't like that at all. Like, it was a good experience, really. The second time was a bit scary, though, because I got ill and I went to the Nigerian hospitals, and they're nothing like the UK hospitals. That's why people in the UK, people who've got the NHS, need to be very thankful that they're in a position like that, because Nigerian hospitals are not the same.
Mm.
They are very poverty-ridden, and I saw some kid die in the bed next to me, and that shook me up. And to be honest with you, my mum always laughs, but that's the reason why I haven't been back. because of that experience when I was like 14, because I nearly died in that hospital. I think I ate some dodgy food and it was horrible. Like, I was just ill for days and in the hospital, and it just wasn't a nice. I still remember the smell. It was hot, awful. But barring that experience, everything was good. Everything was good. Mm-hmm. And my relatives are always telling me to come back. It's different now. You'll have such a nice time. Loads of wonderful girls, blah, blah, blah. So I might need to go.
So your mum instilled in you this idea that, yeah, you know, it's good to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was a frustrated kid. I mean, I was not a very behaved young man. Caused my mum a lot of dramas growing up. Because I didn't know who I was. I was trying to fit in, I believe. It's only till, I'd say, the last five, six years that I have been like when someone says to me, oh, where are you from? I used to always say, oh, I'm from Hull, I'm from England. Even I am from there. I was born down Heddon Road, about 5 miles away from here, where a lot of kids from my generation was born. Lived on Norfolk Estate all my life. And I used to always say, yeah, I'm British. I'm like, and I am still proud of being British. Mm-hmm. But if someone asks me now, I'll say I'm African. Mm-hmm. And I used to shy away from that, being embarrassed. That my memories of school is teachers getting my name wrong. And then you hear the little snigger from your friends, the laugh. Mm-hmm. They're the memories that stick in my mind. Really, they shouldn't. But growing up being young and wanting to fit in with everyone else, when you're hearing people laugh when the teacher gets your name wrong, it gets embarrassed. Or I'll say my name before they even can say it, so I don't have to deal with that embarrassment. So them sort of experiences used to make me feel sad a little bit. I used to feel like I was like an alien. And I didn't embrace them when I should have done. But when you're young, you don't embrace things like that. You're just trying to fit in with everyone else. So, yeah. But now I'm so proud of being a Nigerian. So proud of it. Proud of being African. I love it. But before, I don't think I did.
So are there any particular aspects of Nigerian culture, African culture, that you try to, to have in your life now or to share with others?
Just the good vibes. The good vibes, like, I just think Nigerian people are they're happy. They're very happy and they're very positive, God-fearing, excitable characters, proper eccentric. You walk in a room and not even just a Nigerian, just an African person. Like, they're always the centre of the party. Like, we have got a bit of perception of being quite angry and moody sometimes. And I think we are sometimes, But that's what I take from the African country, just the good vibes, the positivity, that being so proud of where you come from, being proud of your family, doing anything for your family. That's what I like to take from the African culture, definitely.
You obviously got a really good balance of understanding the African identity as well as the British identity.
And that's why I got it wrong as a younger.
Okay.
I didn't understand. And that's why what I meant by my mum used to always remind me that I'm black and you're a Nigerian boy. You're not like your peers. And I know why she used to remind me of that now, because that's, at first I used to get angry when she used to say that. What do you mean, mum, blah, blah, blah? Like, because I didn't understand what she meant. Now as I've got older, I understand now. And she wasn't saying it to be nasty to my white friends or to the white culture, to the British culture. She used to just remind me, like, remember who you are. Like, the Oraka name means something. Like, just remember, like, be proud and always try your best.
Let's talk more widely then now about your influences.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're influenced by your African descent.
Mm.
You're a musician.
Mm.
So tell me something about your music and the influences.
Growing up, anyone will tell you, like, if you're from Africa, the party culture is a big thing. Like, when there's a party, it's massive. The full street knows about it. Like, I remember growing, I don't think 21st I've ever seen as, like, when they must have thought, I don't know, they must have thought it was the African nations or something when my mum used to have parties, because so many African people from all, like, from Zimbabwe, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, big parties, barbecues. Like, I remember when I got christened, massive parties. Like, my mum was known for throwing good parties, music, African music, West Indian music, even British music. UB40 was getting played in my house all the time when it was a party, all the time. And we used to just party till the hours, like early hours in the morning. So that was probably my first musical influence, probably. And then my big sister, she was heavily into music. She used to like R&B music and rap music. Every year we used to go to Notting Hill Carnival, stay with my auntie in Stoke Newington. We used to always go there. So there was my early influences of music. Like, writing music probably started happening when I was about 17. One of my friends called Danny Craft, he started rapping, and he got me into it because we used to just mess around in his bedroom. And he used to say, "Oh, I think you're good. You should actually like put your thoughts down on paper." And I was like, "Oh no, I don't think it's for me." Started doing it, and then I went to university, stopped doing it, and then I came back, and that's when I started taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
My shallow and very narrow understanding of rap.
Yeah.
There's often a, well, rap, you're really giving a message.
Yeah, it's always about a message.
Yeah, so what are the key, like, the key messages you're putting across?
Just to be, the key message for me is just to be yourself. That's my key message in my music, like, because I'm constantly trying to tell the viewer or the listener that I'm a Hull boy, and I'm proud to be Hull. I'm proud to be from Hull. I'm proud to be an African boy. I'm proud of where I live, the estate that I've been brought up on, the clothes that I wear, the things that I've been through. They're the things that I like to put out in my music. I feel like I'm sort of like a news reporter, really. I'm a product of my environment. I'm telling people about my environment. Mm. So I'm telling the people things that they might not hear on the news. Because the news is BBC and ITV, they're corporations.
Yeah.
So they're not always going to tell the viewer what's really happening. Me, there's no holds barred. I'm telling you what really is happening. Mm.
Can you give me some examples?
I did a song called I'm From a City.
Yeah.
What a lot of people know me for in this city. It got criticised a little bit because the first two verses are quite, people would say, are quite negative. Because I'm giving people my perception of what I feel it's like to live in Hull, what people are like in Hull.
Mm.
They might not like what I'm saying, but if they're going to be really honest with themselves, it's the truth. I think Hull can be a negative place to live.
Mm.
There's a lot of people with negative mindsets. Oh, well, we can't do this. We can't do that. Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? Give me the answers. Why?
Mm.
I don't think in Hull, I think Hull lacks a lot of self-belief. So the first song, I mean, not the first song, the first two verses concentrated on that negative energy that we possess in Hull. The third verse was like a celebratory verse of things that, wait a minute, we're from Hull. You should be proud of these things that we've got. Don't moan and complain about we're not given any chances or we're not given any opportunities. Make some chances, make some opportunities. Look at the things that I'm saying in this verse, the Wilberforce legacy. We've got two rugby clubs who are in the top league of rugby league. Hull City are in the Premiership. Hull Fair, the biggest fair in Europe. We've got so many, Luke Campbell, Olympic gold medalist. Do you know what I mean? There's so many things that we should be proud of, and we should be coming off the back of that positivity and making some more positivity. Being great, we need to be greats. And a lot of people in this city don't have that mentality. But it will change. Slowly but surely, it will change.
Yeah. The media has often portrayed Hull as a northern city in poverty.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think you would obviously agree.
Yeah.
Actually, the poverty here is more a poverty of aspiration.
Definitely. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. No one inspires to be a great. I don't know if that's to do with our school systems, the kids getting taught. Like, I think when you go into school sometimes, there's divisions. I work in education, so I know more than most, I know what I know. There's divisions. Mm. You have the kids who are low achievers, the kids that bob around in the middle, then you have your high achievers. I'm a believer of you should scrap that. I feel life's a level playing field. That's how I feel.
Mm. Tell me more then about your employment.
So I work at Andrew Marvel.
Yeah.
A school on the east part of the city.
Mm.
What's
your role there?
I'm an achievement mentor.
Right, okay.
I'm attached to year 11. My current year 11s who have just left, I was with them in year 10. So I came with them from year 10 to year 11. And then now I've been told that I'm going to be just staying with year 11 next year. So the year 10s, that was last year, I'm going to be with them in year 11. And my role basically is aimed around pastoral. I don't know if are you aware of that word.
Mm.
It's basically the foundation of the school. It's what holds the school together, the pastoral care. Because in East Hull, there's a lot of troubled kids. And a lot of kids that have got no aspirations, like what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, where they don't believe they can achieve anything in their life, where they've been told that they're not going to do anything with their life, where they've got their role models aren't very positive. So that's my main role, I feel, at Andrew Marvel, is to basically give these kids a go-to person, because they might not have anyone at home who they can speak to about their problems.
Would you say that is a parallel for the whole city, really?
Yeah, I don't...
Is the city sort of almost coming out of special measures and now a city of opportunity?
Yeah, well, I hope so. That's what I really hope happens. I'm yet to see it yet, but I do realise it's a very tall order, so I know it's going to take time. But yeah, you could say that it is a city that's coming out of special measures, because it's a city that I don't personally believe is a fan of the education system, really. I don't think they believe in it. And I think a lot of the kids have been let down by it. So the parents have got a little bit of a reason to be angry with some of the schools in this city, because I think some of the schools in this city have failed miserably, to be honest with you. I do believe that.
Do you have children of your own?
No, not yet. I'm 28. My mum's always banging on, saying that you need to bring some children into the earth, but right now I don't think is the right time.
How important do you think your Nigerian background will be to your children?
Massive.
If you have children.
Massive. Huge. Because my mum was quite strict, quite firm, but she was very loving as well. You need that balance. It's a very important balance. My mum, education's everything to my mum. Like, she's got a degree, a master's. My sister's a solicitor. I qualified in sports development and coaching. So it was very important for her to instill education's everything. And it's not everything, though. That's why I disagree with her sometimes, because it's not everything. I think life experiences is everything. And I've got a lot of them. I've got them both. I've got education and I've got life experiences.
Mm.
So I'm happy, really. I've got a good foundation. My mum gave me a fantastic foundation. So, but going back to your question, the African side of me will be definitely instilled in my children. Has to be. My mum wouldn't even let it have. Mum wouldn't let it be any other way.
Mm.
It would have to happen.
I've got two teenage sons myself, and obviously we've just been through the referendum.
Oh,
voted to leave, haven't we? But my sons are really well travelled, far better travelled than I am.
Oh, right.
Been all over Europe.
Oh, that's great.
And so there's a general sense amongst young people, I feel, that young people look at themselves not just as English, not just as British, but perhaps European, or even place themselves more widely. To what extent do you think geographical boundaries still exist?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I've had so many debates with my friends about this referendum, and even debates with teachers at school. And you have to listen to everyone's opinion, don't you? I mean, when you have an argument, that's what it's about. And I think people would be lying if they said this referendum wasn't decided on immigration, which pains me, really. And this is why I feel this city is a little bit far behind, especially only judging by the things I've seen on Facebook and the things I've seen in the community when I've gone to the shops and I've had conversations with my neighbours and stuff like that. They're basing it on immigration. They're basing it on people coming here and taking, which I think is wrong, really. So I think we are a bit far, this city especially, are far behind. Because if you really think that other cultures are here just to take, and you're not willing to accept other cultures, then really, why was we awarded the City of Culture?
Is the city no longer reflecting the ethos, the values of Wilberforce? Of freedom and equality?
No, I don't think the city is reflecting that, if I'm going to be honest. If I'm going to be brutally honest, no, I don't. The things I see on my Facebook, and I know I shouldn't even talk about Facebook because Facebook's not the be-all and end-all, but unfortunately, that's where people express their opinions, social media, even on my Twitter. And like I said, even the conversations I've had with people, it's all about immigration. We need to tighten up our borders. It's too much now. There's too many here. I don't like it. Because my mum was an immigrant. She came here to learn, but you could say she's an immigrant. I think, and it's harsh to say because I'm a northerner and I love being north, from up north. I love it. I absolutely love it because I think there's so many good things about being from up north. I think the people are generally friendlier. And I think once the northern people warm to you, they really love you. They're really loyal northern people. That's my perception. So I love being from up north. Love it so much. But I feel that we... the biggest mourners in the world, I feel like we're always quick to blame others, and I think sometimes there's a bit of laziness, because I feel this whole coming here to take our jobs malarkey, it does my head in. Go out and get a job. There's loads of jobs, absolutely loads of them. It's not a good enough excuse. It's an awful excuse. This whole self-belief thing is massive. And a lot of northern people don't have that self-belief that you can go out there and be whatever you want to be. Stop using people coming over here as an excuse. You're not going to wash cars. You're not going to work in pea factories. You're not going to wake up at 4 in the morning and get back at 8 on the night. You're not going to do them jobs, them rubbish jobs. So stop using it as an excuse. Go out there and become someone. And that's why I think the Southerners have got the advantage, because they've got that mentality in their head. They're willing to try new things. They're willing to go out on the firing line, and they're willing to just work goddamn hard to get what they want.
Are you where you want to be?
No, in life. Not a shadow of doubt. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. Nowhere.
So let's fly forwards in time. We've
got the I want to be a successful musician.
Okay.
Music's everything to me. I was having this conversation with my friend who I make music with, my mate James. We're not where we want to be. Sometimes we fall into that category where we complain and moan. Oh, it's not, we haven't got a song on radio yet, national radio, or we haven't got so many YouTube views, or black. We get into that cycle, and we're in that at the moment. We're in that cycle a little bit at the moment where we're just complaining. But I said to him last night, like, we need to stop this. The world's our oyster. We're both still young. We both make good music. We both are talented. It's not easy. Life's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be an easy road. It's meant to be a bumpy road. You're meant to have struggles. You're meant to have problems. Things don't always go right. And that's where people get it wrong. We've had some struggles. We've had some problems. But nothing compared to some of other people. So we need to fix up, basically. And we need to become greats. Because that's what I want to be. I want to be a great. So flying forward, yeah, is to be a very successful musician. To buy my mum a house. To buy my sister a house. To make sure they're financially in a good position. To make sure my relatives in Nigeria are. To make sure the people around me, my friends, are all doing well. That's where I want to be in the future. And it's going to happen. Definitely.
Jada, thank you very much.
No worries.